Hi, this is Karen Brown from Go Green Inside, and today I'll be chatting with Ray Hatherton, whose practice centers on Tibetan energy medicine and incorporates Buddhist principles to balance the body-mind. Ray's been leading seminars and authoring books, developing systems in body-mind medicine globally for more than 30 years, and she teaches Tibetan acupressure, compassionate touch, and is the author of Alive, An Energy Plan for Life, and the Alive Recipe Collection. Today on the Go Green Inside podcast, we're talking to Ray about compassion and how we can cultivate more of it in our lives. Hi, Ray. Thanks for joining us today.
Hi, Karen. This is really a pleasure.
Well, you were recently a guest presenter at our ongoing live event series for Go Green Inside, which is called Courageous Conversations on Living and Dying. And you talked about the Tibetan Tonglen compassion practice. It was a great evening, and you shared with us how we could use this practice sort of on the spot in a more in a structured way, but without the rules, per se, of a more in-depth Tibetan Buddhist practice, and how we could do that in our daily lives. So I thought it would be a really great topic for a podcast, and we can offer this to those who weren't able to be present at the live event. So I guess we'll just dive in, and I just want to ask you to start with, from your perspective, when we're talking about compassion, what is it we're really talking about?
I think what we're speaking about really is that we all have the heart-mind of compassion. No matter how mean-spirited or nasty someone may be, underneath all of that, they actually have what Pema Chodron and Chökyam Trungpa call a soft spot. And that soft spot is the part of our nature that automatically and intrinsically wants to care for people. So no matter how it may appear that other people act or how they act out, it actually is always there with every single person. And to get in touch with that part of yourself, as well as the fact that it exists for others, is a necessary part of coming in touch with compassion.
And I guess it's so easy in our day-to-day lives to, you know, to be in, as you described, you know, to be in the lineup somewhere and to feel not so compassionate for the person in line who's creating, you know, some drama or who's holding you up from being able to get to your next thing because you're still in the line. So can you give us some sort of practical examples of what this might look like and what we actually can do in terms of an actual practice on the spot to feel this compassion and kind of shift things for ourselves? And maybe it's that we also shift things for the other person. I'm not sure.
Well, that would be nice. It doesn't always happen that way, I don't think, but we have to start somewhere, and I think where we need to start is with ourselves.
Yeah.
Because really we can't change anybody else, and we hope that the good fortune that we wish for them actually makes a difference, but the truth is the only place that we can really see the difference is with ourselves. So we're as a people, I think, addicted to comfort. We like things to be nice and easy, and we don't like traffic jams. We don't like things not working. We don't like computers that crash. And it causes aggravation. And the thing that you were just saying about my pet peeve about standing in line, and especially if somebody butts in and just kind of stands there,
okay,
I think is a really good opportunity. And we have little opportunities like that every day. And people may think that that's not really significant as far as compassion is concerned, but it actually is, because you have to start somewhere. And
right,
starting simply, you know, like really, really simply, I think is the only place that you can begin. So when you notice that you have a negative emotion or a negative response or a reactionary thought to someone doing something that you don't want them to do, breathing that in, and instead of, What we tend to do is we want to breathe in the nice stuff and, you know, just kind of be comfortable around it or avoid the whole thought pattern altogether. And what this is about the dead opposite. So the practice of giving and receiving, which is Tonglen, reverses the process of hardening and shutting down and closing off or avoiding the negativity and actually embracing it. So just bringing it on. So breathing in the negativity that you may feel right at that moment, and instead of lashing out or reacting, actually sending out a wish to be able to handle situations like that better, or sending out a wish that that person that just butted in line ahead of us, you know, feels benefit from us. Or if we want to really just keep it to ourselves, because basically it's us that are in reaction, we can breathe in the suffering around that for ourselves and breathe out just the wish to be able to handle it, you know, or breathe out just the aspiration, you know, like just the idea that maybe if we wished for it, it could actually evolve, that we could evolve.
I think that's really great. I mean, it sounds like literally, I mean, you could be using this in just myriad ways during your day for so many things. I can really think of so many ways that could be helpful.
Well, actually, you told me about one today. Why don't you?
Yes.
Yeah, I know it's a little one, but hey, it's important.
I know. It seems a little silly, but I guess, you know, it really did shift things for me in that moment and probably carried, you know, me through the day a little bit as well. What happened was, as I said, silly thing, I had a Rolodex in my hand and I had my thumb or finger in the back, and when I opened the top of it, it really bore down on my fingernail and it hurt. And in that moment, I kind of lashed out at myself, and I found myself saying, and I think I said it out loud, I said, "Oh, you're such a loser." And I thought, oh. And in that moment, for whatever reason, it occurred to me, and I guess now that I've started to learn this technique, and hopefully it'll stick and I'll be able to use it more and more, but it did occur to me to do it. And so I just tried to breathe in that feeling of thinking of myself in that way, which is really not something I want to, you know, do a lot of. And then I sent out a wish for myself to be a little gentler on myself and to have a little bit more self-compassion. Yes. So is that the right way that I should have done that?
Well, it's interesting that you should use that term, because the truth is, this is all experimentation. So any way that you do it is fine. It's basically just what you did so brilliantly was to catch yourself right in the moment. And that's the thing that's the hardest to do. I mean, it's hindsight's 20/20, right? You can look back and say, oh, golly, I wish I hadn't berated myself so heavily. But if you can catch yourself right in that second, in that moment, and actually flip it right at that point and say, ah, you know, I think a little kindness, a little love, a little less harshness is needed here. And just breathe in that harshness and feel it for yourself. And sometimes it can even bring you to tears just for yourself. And not the self-cherishing, selfish, righteous, you know, poor me thing, but rather just the compassionate open-heartedness that actually can exist not only for oneself, but that's the beginning point to open it up for others as well.
Right. I really like that. And I think that's important, is that it doesn't become about the ego. And I guess the other thing that the ego might do is say, oh, I don't want to breathe in any more suffering than I have to. Can it get blocked inside of us?
Well, if illusion can get blocked, I guess so. I mean, it's all illusion anyway, right?
Right.
I mean, all this negativity and positivity and all the rest of that, can you measure it? Can you, I mean, scientifically? I mean, we are, you know, I mean, maybe we can, but bottom line, it's like it is the brand that we put on it. So if we're actually trying to open our heart, anything that we can do that's valuable, and this is a proven 3,000-year-old system. anything that will open that up and to stop our self-grasping and our avoiding everything that's uncomfortable and sticking with only the things that make us feel at ease and comfortable, and rather just maybe experimenting a little bit with what it feels like to take that on and what it feels like to give away our comfort. You know, like I was sitting this morning having my, you know, lunch, and I had this lovely lunch, and I was sitting there, and it was raining softly outside, and everything was green and beautiful. And what I did was I just really let myself experience it just in that moment. And I send out a wish that all the people who haven't got this experience right now actually have that feeling of peace and gratitude and just, you know, at ease. Just mm-hmm. ease.
Yeah, that's lovely.
Yeah.
I like that. Can you give maybe a couple of other examples of how we might use this practice in our day-to-day lives?
Well, I think I had a client call me the other day, and she had just had a major knockdown drag out with her husband. And she realized that when she lost her temper, that she had really lost it. But she then proceeded to, you know, completely implode on herself. And she had already exploded on her husband, so now she was imploding on herself, which means it's kind of like a double whammy, right? And we tend to, when we lose our temper, not allow ourselves any space. And I think to actually breathe in the suffering that we have around that and breathe out just for ourselves ease and forgiveness and honest love for the person that we've lashed out at, for how we feel ourselves. And then maybe remember at that point that we're not the only one that's doing that right at this very moment. There's millions of people doing exactly the same thing, and maybe wishing them a little less abuse, mm-hmm. a little less self-criticism and judgment, a little more spaciousness. And I think spaciousness and open-heartedness is really what this practice is all about. And if you get into the formal practice, which requires a little bit more coaching, and hopefully we get to do this evening again, it opens that door. But the beginning starts with you. And it starts with the little things that you're talking about, like slamming your finger in a Rolodex and catching yourself when you get upset or angry, or it's those things that begin to just put chinks in the armor, because we tend to armor our hearts, you know.
Yeah.
We get tough, and we may not look that way on the outside, by the way, but we tend to get tough.
All right. Well, I'm really happy that you shared this with us, and I know I, for one, am planning to do my best to remember to use this. It's a really great tool, and I think, as we've said, it just has so many possibilities to it that I think it's something we could all benefit from. The world can benefit from just, you know, one thought at a time, one person at a time. So
exactly.
With that, I'd like to thank you so much, Ray. I'm sorry, did I interrupt you? Did you have something?
No, it's just I appreciate what you've said. It's a really beautiful completion to this conversation.
Well, thank you so much. And before we go, I just wanted to ask you, if people are interested in learning more about you and your work, how can they find you?
The best way is to go to www.TibetanEnergyMedicine.com. I'm there, and my books are there, and pretty well everything I do is listed as well. So you're welcome to give me a call at any point and email me freely.
Perfect. Thank you so much. I look forward to speaking with you again, and hopefully we will do that live event again. I think it was very well received, and I'd love to do it again. So thank you again, Ray, so much.
Thank you, Karen.
And bye for now.
Okay.
We hope you enjoyed this podcast, and for more great tips on natural health and inspired living and how you can sustain your internal environment, please visit us at gogreeninside.com. And you can also follow us on Facebook and Twitter at Go Green Inside.